You are listening to
Emotional Inclusion Podcast.
The Emotional Inclusion Podcast.
Emotional Inclusion Podcast.
The Emotional Inclusion Podcast.
Hi, and welcome to the Emotional Inclusion Podcast. Emotional inclusion is a call to all companies to take a stand and realize the urgent need to invest in a trained professional in their organizations to address the emotional state of their employees, and particularly those who need to be reintegrated into the workforce post-trying circumstances. Over my decade and a half long career in the fashion industry and listening to hundreds of stories of people who have navigated work whilst facing the perfect storm, I realized the urgent need to advocate a safe platform in the corporate world where emotions can be heard, recognized, and dealt with for an enhanced business productivity. I invite you to tune in as I share practical wisdom and empowering conversations with influential leaders to break down archaic business stereotypes and lead the way to a better emotionally accepting corporate ecosystem. The Emotional Inclusion Podcast is here to shatter the status quo of today's business landscape and lead the way to a wholesome new mindset in the workforce.
Hi, I'm Stefan Fabregol. I'm the Managing Director for the JW Marriott Singapore, as well as Saint-Régis, and you are listening to the Emotional Inclusion Podcast.
Today's guest is Stefan Fabregol, current Managing Director of St. Regis and JW Marriott in Singapore. Born in the south of France, Stefan has been in Asia for the past 15 years, working in Thailand, India, and Singapore. With over 25 years in the hospitality industry, he has been able to develop intensive experiences within luxury, leisure, business, and convention hotels. With three hotel openings in his portfolio, he has acquired strong knowledge with lifestyle brand launch, pre-opening experience, sales and marketing, revenue management strategy, budgeting, brand positioning, and building cultures of excellence. Running multi-properties, his focus remains on driving performance while developing a strong team. Passionate about people, Stefan is here today to share his insights with us on the place that emotional inclusion has in the realm of hospitality. Stefan, thank you so much for joining us today, and welcome to the Emotional Inclusion show this morning. I'm very happy to see you bright and early. It's 8 a.m. for us, and we're still fresh and ready to go. So thanks again for being here today.
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation.
Being in the hospitality industry, or in other words, defend the business of people, I'm really excited to share the purpose of emotional inclusion that you see being so relevant in this realm. So I suggest we dive right in and share our content to our listeners. As we know, emotional inclusion is a call to all companies to take a stand and realize the urgent need to invest in a trained professional in their organizations to address the emotional state of their employees, and particularly those employees who need to be reintegrated into the workforce post-trying experience or circumstances. In your extensive experience in the business, again, of people, could you please tell us where and how emotional inclusion would come in useful to the world of hospitality?
Yeah, so you rightly said we're in a people business. We welcome a lot of people in our hotels and restaurants. And to be able to do so, we're also working with a lot of people compared to any industry. When we look at these people, we have a huge, massive diversity in our team through different generation, nationality. For example, in the hotel where I'm right now sitting, we've got more than 30 different nationality, diversity in terms of religion and culture. So where it can be seen sometimes as a challenge, particularly for luxury brand who must deliver a product with a strong identity. But in fact, I always feel it's an advantage. We all focus on delivering authentic and personalized service. And this, in fact, diversity is the best contributor to it. Our employees understand their uniqueness and the value for the company. And as you said, I'm part of Marriott, and we do believe in people first. That's our aim. So where emotional inclusion is important is to ensure that every single employee is connected, engaged with our values, understand their contribution to our journey. We have to create an environment where people are eager to share, to take initiative, and to find self-fulfillment, but in a luxury. So one of the key points for me has always been the way we communicate is a great way to see if a company are doing it with emotional inclusion. If I look back in my past experience, I can refer to one of my assignments. It was not in Singapore. It was just before where I was leading a project. And I was really struggling to complete this project. While I couldn't understand, I had a great leader managing this project. I had a great team working with him, but still many challenges. And in fact, I realized that it was a culture difference. And that's where emotional inclusion was not being part of this project and where really to initiate this. The way the manager or the leader was leading his team and the way he was communicating was creating more troubles than anything. So I learned about, and I'm not going to make advertising about this book, but it's a book, very easy, only 40, 50 pages, called Culture Shock. And you can find this in many countries. When you move to a country, you buy this, and that gives you maybe take 1 hour to 2 hours to read, and it gives you good insight about the country. That's where I learned from the tough time that, yeah, emotion inclusion is very important, and it can help you lead to deliver and to contribute to what you want to deliver. So I bought this book and I offered to this manager, and I can tell you that it was a big change. And I always look at anything I do, and I shared with you last time when we had an interaction, it's about how many effort for how many values. And while this leader was pushing, he was putting a lot of effort, he was not getting any values. But by adapting his leadership style, by looking at this team and understanding more about emotional inclusion, he could really have little effort for high value. So that's where I feel emotional inclusion is very important. Maybe a second example about it also is really to make an effort to understand the local culture. And in our industry, we're working in different countries. That's why also I love this job. I've been working in many different countries. That's a great way to really learn about the culture. But we have to make this effort because besides the leadership also, it's about respect and being able to show compassion in our environment. And also understanding. And again, another experience where I will always remember it because it was a big, big learning for me. One of my employees was away for almost 2 weeks, and I was thinking he was on holiday. And when he came back, I was very happy to see him, but I could see he shaved his head. And I was thinking, oh, wow. Maybe he changed his style during the holiday. So I asked him, hey, what happened to you? You changed your style. And he told me that, in fact, he did this because his father passed away. And that's part of the ritual in his religion. And that's been quite a shock to me because I always feel in our work environment, we must understand before even talking. There is a sign easy to read. And that can help us to create a better bonding. And I apologized to him. I said, look, deeply sorry, I didn't know. But I said to myself, it will never happen again. So yeah. Emotional inclusion is also looking at this clue that we are not verbal and we can really help you to have a better understanding and compassion and looking after your employees.
I love what you say, Stefan, because in your word, I remember you saying something that was so impactful. My apologies for cutting you here, but I just want to share what you had said to our listeners, because it really stuck with me. And you had said, One can spend a lot of effort and have no value if the cultural subtleties are not properly understood. And it's so true. And in this case, it's the perfect example.
Yeah, and it's not only on the religions, there is communities, there is like and dislike, and all of this can really help. Allowing also our employees to create their own environment. I'm not the best ambassador of open space and with desks that people like keep moving. I know maybe in terms of business, it is efficient because he helped to maximize the space. But I learned maybe in some country it can work, but in other country where, again, it's about emotional inclusion, where people need to create their own environment with a few things on their desk, we bring them back to their own culture. I know that by removing all of this, that doesn't help them to feel integrated in company. I think a great company is a company will allow also a certain environment to the people if they feel better. That's the key for me.
Yeah, I love what you're saying. And it's so on point. So if you agree that at the end of the day that your work would be made easier with a trained therapist effectively on board, catering to the emotional state of your employees, my question to you is, why do you think that this hasn't been done yet? I mean, especially in your line of business, which is the business of people.
Yeah, it takes time. Hospitality industry is a big industry. It's a large industry. Was not always been on the edge of everything. But for the past few years, it's really going faster. I made a bit of research, but emotional intelligence and emotional meaning was as what, 40 years, and it became maybe more understood in 1995 with emotional intelligence from Daniel Goleman. So when you look at this, it's only 25 years. Nowadays, we can see company coming with a happiness manager. So yeah. Happiness cannot go without emotional inclusion. It has really to be combined. So in industry, we have not yet moved to there, but we got some activities going in our hotel, really helps this. But I feel what is going to accelerate is the generation. When we look at the new generation, they're not looking for the same thing as my generation, for example. They're looking for a meaning. They're not just looking for a job and staying in the same company for 25 or 35 years. Understood, they want to feel that they contribute and they accomplish something. So with all of this, if company want to retain them, they would have really to consider emotional inclusion as part of the company culture. And it would be a payback. When we develop team members, when we train them, we spend a lot of time, we spend a lot of money. And if an employee leave after 1 year and a half or 2 years because he feels that it's not the right environment for him, it's a loss of money. And companies start looking at this. So I feel it's going to accelerate because it's going to help, as I said, better retention, better company culture, better engagement, better loyalty to the company.
I couldn't agree with you more, Stefan. And this is really why it's my mission today to make it a new norm. To make emotional inclusion a new norm and to really have CEOs and entrepreneurs and big corporations and smaller corporations really take a stand on this and realize that even for smaller corporations, whilst they may think, I don't have the budget to have a trained therapist on board. Again, there are many different ways of looking at it. It can be outsourced, but it can be outsourced in a way where that trained therapist understands the culture that they are dealing with. I think that's really the key. But that at the end of the day, for companies that are on lean budgets, that exactly to your point, that it's at the end of the day going to be affecting their bottom lines in a positive light. Yeah.
In our world today, indicator really can support this. we do engagement or satisfaction with our employees, so it can be used as an indicator. We look at the retention, attrition, because that's a cost that can be also an indicator. So there is many indicators we can support the fact that, yeah, we need to do the thing differently. And maybe to be able to compare a company who has this culture of looking after having really a big development in emotional inclusion versus a company who is not doing. And you will see the gap.
Yeah, I love that. Do you think that with the impact that COVID has had, especially on the hospitality industry, do you think that will create room for change and a higher regard for emotional inclusion?
Yeah, I think so. Because, you know, when everything goes well, we don't need to do much things. We just need some small adjustment. But while going through crisis, and that's really a crisis for our employees, because the business has gone from 100 to 10, and really we're taking action to mitigate this. But there is anxiety. There is people who don't know what is going to happen in the next 6 months. So that's where we need to spend even more time on the being close to our employees, understanding their challenge, to really listen to them and not to use the coronavirus as a plan to eliminate all the form we're doing normally. I think we have to do even more. It will have a big impact, I feel. We cannot continue to do the way we're doing. And also, our employees have realized going through this tough period that maybe the priority has changed. And we need to show that they can still focus on their priority, still working with us.
Yeah, absolutely. And this really ties in very well with another point you and I had talked about, that the effects of leadership style on employee well-being in hospitality, which have, by the way, been well documented. And we know now that transformational leadership versus transactional leadership has been proven as well to deliver positive results. There have been many surveys proven the effect of transformational leadership. How do you, Stefan, address that in your day-to-day?
Yeah, it's funny because when you talk about transaction and how we manage our team, I'm part of those who have been impacted by this when I started my career because of the culture. I was passionate about something, but the culture within this environment was terrible. And in fact, I left. So it all depends as a leader, what do you want? What do you want to deliver? What you are expecting from your team? Is it to create doer, meaning people who are just doing what we want for them to do? Or if you are looking at you're referring as transaction, or it could be also interaction, people who are open to interaction or transaction. I always look at interaction or transformation, not really so much transaction, because I'm always surprised by the second effect. Where on the first, I'm never surprised. It's just they do what I want them to do, and it's a big limitation. So what we do in our organization today to be able to deliver this is one key focus has always been development, learning and development. I feel as a leader, we should never stop to develop our team. So that's what we have in place. We set a number of hours per employee as a training, and we do track. We have a huge record of this because even we develop them for our company, but we develop them also for the future. And I feel when we talk about self-fulfillment, people want to learn. They don't want to be in 10 years the same level as now. So we do gap analysis, we tailor-made program, we do leadership program, because it starts also from the top. Second priority will be to provide an inspiring environment where people feel that they can take initiative. To promote this, we do a lot of things. So one, we have multiple forums available where voice can be heard. That's important. Hierarchy before used to be a form of a pyramid, but nowadays this should be reversed. In fact, we are working as a team and everyone is feeding each other. So through this forum, we can really adapt our organization. We can realign. we can show that they can contribute. We can follow up on what they are asking. That's where they might feel important. We do spend also a lot of time on one-on-one session. That's another forum, department meeting. But it's also important to look at different generation in our team. So, for example, at JW, we have launched a Y committee. So it's a youth committee. 40% of our workforce is between 22 to 25 years old. Their inspiration is very different than the other group of... So we know also when we're recruiting, 80% are coming from this group of people. So if we don't adapt our organization to this group of people, we will always have challenge. And we know also the retention, where is the most difficult, is on this group of people. So what we have developed, this youth committee, is almost equivalent to my XCOM member. So I got 10 people from different departments, and we keep meeting once a month. We run projects together. And that's fantastic because that's give me really a different view of my team and in fact, holistic view on the team. We do also open house family. When we talk about emotional inclusion, that's a big part of it because we don't just connect with the employee, but we connect also with family. Maybe later I might share a story about this, but that was great. And so after inspiring environment is really something also which has always been very important for me to, as a third priority is empowerment. So we all have tasks to accomplish and we have all accountability also to take on different projects. But when people are empowered to do something, that's really makes them feel important. I hate, you know, when I go anywhere and if ask someone and someone tell me, oh, let me talk to my manager. I'm not upset because this person is telling me this, but I'm upset because if I was this person, I know how this person feels because it's like I'm not empowered to take a decision. So if I cannot be empowered to take a decision, I'm a doer. I've not been trained. I've not been given responsibility to go a bit above my responsibilities. So I always focus on our empowerment guidelines. So all our employees, they know what they can do and they have an environment, some guidelines. And the last one is celebration because we tend to forget to celebrate, but there is always opportunity. So here we do instant recognition, in fact, on the day. So we all had, you know, the series of celebration by months, quarterly, yearly, but also what we implement is every day. So we got this recognition card that anyone can write and can give to someone. This is super powerful because that's my motivation. That's my, always has been my four focus in my work environment, to be able, yeah, to really create a nice environment and also to push our leader to look after the team.
I love all that you say and the fact that you, Stefan, as a managing director leading from the top, are setting the note for a very already holistic platform and that is setting the tone effectively for an all-around healthy culture within your organization. And I'm sure that you're seeing the results from it and that you obviously track the results and it must be extremely satisfying. I'm curious, however, to know about a key experience of yours whilst you're having this amazing platform already, right? But I'd be interested if you could share with us a key experience of yours in the course of your extensive 25-year-long career.
Not too so long.
That could have called. Okay, well, we'll omit to say, to mention the number then. But that could have called for emotional inclusion. If you had one key moment where you would have thought, oh, I wish I had had a trained therapist on board who understands the culture of my company and the way that I instill the culture to be in this holistic format that you've so kindly described to us earlier, what would it be? What would that experience of yours be?
Wow. It's happened many times.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It's about the culture of the company, the culture of where you work, the culture of the country. I had many learning about this. Maybe at that time, I was not calling this emotional inclusion. It was more about build a bridge, closing the gap, and finding, in fact, a way to facilitate my connection with the team or our partners or our clients or guests. I always feel that detail makes a difference. Doesn't mean that only focus on detail, but at least with people, detail makes a difference. So looking at my past history, maybe I spent 4 years and a half in India. That was a massive learning. I love this country. The way it is portrayed, like incredible India. I think that's the best way to describe India.
Yeah.
I love the people. And I remember when I moved to India, I was working in Mumbai in a beautiful boutique hotel close to the airport. A couple of months after starting, so my team said, hey, we must organize a corporate event and we must, reinforce our relationship with our corporate and stuff. So I said, okay, no problem. So let's do it. So like any hotel, in the world, you do this. The only thing is they gave me a list of 100 invitees. So I said, okay, no problem, we do. And we end up having in our ballroom 350 people.
Wow.
That's a big change. And I was going around and interacting with a lot of people and et cetera. And I realized that maybe 2/3 of the room had nothing to see with our business. So I said, wow, what is that? So I went to see my salespeople and said, hey guys, how come I end up talking to the brother of this one or the cousin of this one or a friend of this one? And they said, oh, that's the way we do. So I was a bit upset because I said, what is the point? Always looking at effort and value. I met 10 people, but had no value. And in fact, they explained to me, and that's where I relate to emotional inclusion. And it's about, this part is about business and how to develop a strong relationship with business. They explained to me that by allowing our corporate partner to bring their family and friend, in fact, the bonding with them was stronger with our team. It was generating emotional connection, not only with the client, but also with their family members and friend. So at the end of the day, it was far better opportunity to do this than just looking at only the corporate people. And it was also understanding about the culture that in this place and that time, that's the way to do. And I realized, wow, is emotional inclusion is not only about what we do with our employees, but it can also be useful to develop our business. So that was a great learning. Add another one, maybe I could refer to, Singapore. And I will refer to what I said before about providing a better environment. And when we provide this environment, that's really push people to go beyond what we would expect, from doer to really going outside the limit. And when they feel empowered, and something I've not used since the beginning, but without fear. That's the most important. Fear in leadership is something that we should always avoid. I prefer rather to have people very engaged with the company, understanding the needs and diversity. But I had one of our welcome ambassador. So what we call welcome ambassador is an employee we're standing in front of the hotel and we welcome all the guests. This guy, because he was so connected with us and really connected also with the brand, at the time it was a W. And W is a very strong brand. And without asking anything, because he felt completely empowered, he felt empowered to support the brand and to take this initiative, where the little kids who forgot his teddy bear in our hotel. And he knew it because he got an email from the father. And this gentleman took the teddy bear and he went all around the hotel, took pictures with the teddy bear in the hotel, having a massage or relaxing by the pool with a cocktail or being in a restaurant, having a nice food. And so, and he sent back to the kids saying, hey, deeply sorry for your your teddy bear was not with you, but don't worry. For the past few days, we have been looking after him, and he was very happy. So the father wrote back to us and said, wow. And he was so surprised that he took all the pictures and he posted on Facebook. So my point, I never asked this employee to do this. But because he felt that the environment was safe and allowing him to be as creative as possible, still with empowerment, he delivers this. And I was, wow. I was, that's a word to use. I was very surprised. So that shows that having a great environment where people are understood, that allows them to surprise us and to go really beyond the limit. And maybe one last one, which is about also, I've mentioned before, about emotional inclusion with going beyond just the employee, but also with the family. And that was so funny. This, I had an employee who was looking to leave our organization. And I'm never upset when someone leave our organization for better. And I will be very happy when someone says, hey, Stefan, I'm leaving your organization because I got this job. And if this job is better, I feel proud because he has been developed with us, so he can get better. Fantastic. But this employee was looking to leave for another reason. So I said, hey, it's sad. Why are you leaving? And etc. So he explained to me. I said, okay, look, that's a choice. And 3 days after, he came back to me. He said, I cannot leave. So I said, oh, wow, you changed your mind? Did I say something to make you change your mind? And he said, no. In fact, my parents told me that I cannot leave your organization. I said, oh, why? Oh, because during the last open house, you sat with them and you talked to them. And they felt that, wow, an organization like this where people make the effort to connect not just with the employee, but beyond the employee, that's a great organization. So I was really very happy to be, because you can see that all our effort had really has been recognized. So that was great to see that by developing connection with not only employees, but also people who are in their environment, that's helped our organization. And that was the best support. So this story happened a few years ago, but I still remember.
I think they're all great. Stefan, thank you so much for sharing. They're great examples, allowing for human connection to happen and basically really making way for that emotional realm to be heard and to be understood, which is not always easy based on the culture you're in, as you were saying, from your experience of when you were based in Mumbai. I think with emotional inclusion, what this tagline means specifically as well here in this context is really having a trained therapist on board in the company that understands the culture, that can address matters for employees when they are going through a difficult experience in their life. And I can definitely relate to that. I know you can too. I mean, I still remember the day when I lost a child and I had to go back to work, open that front door, say hi to my boss and colleagues at the time when I wasn't managing director yet, and having to sit at my desk and just do what I had to do and basically leave my emotions at the doorstep. I was asked to create basically a sub-personality because showing any emotions whatsoever, it was just not the status quo. It's still not the status quo. You, again, this archaic way of doing business, which is not the fault of companies. It's just the way it's always been, to say that, you know what, whatever it is that you're going through on a personal level, leave it at the doorstep once you arrive at work. And once you're there and in your office or in your work setting, we expect you to give 100% of yourself within the work realm. And this is where I think a trained therapist who understands the culture of the company, who could have been there, for example, for me, who I could have gone and seen and said, this in all confidentiality, of course, this is what I'm going through. How do you think I can navigate my way to being the most effective employee I can be. This was my experience, but there's so many others. I've literally compiled like hundreds of stories on a data level of people who have gone through similar hardships. And this is really what sparked that deep need for me to go ahead and launch Emotional Inclusion to the world and to have people like you come and talk about it, because it's no longer something that we should keep quiet about. And so I think within this context, do you have an example of a moment where you had a staff like misbehaving or not delivering the results that you needed him to deliver without knowing why, but perhaps by learning later down the road that he was going through something really difficult, in which case having a trained therapist, again, who understands your leadership style, your holistic platform, could have come in as being beneficial to help that employee excel in the realms that you needed him to excel?
Yeah, and I agree with you. My way of thinking is emotion is part of our day at work. I don't know anyone who is able to leave this emotion just behind the door. At one point, it will come out. So it's better to manage it and to adapt our organization than just to say blinded that, hey, keep your emotion outside. And I feel even by just saying to someone, keep your emotion behind the door, that's already pushed the emotion to the top, because we cannot do this. So yeah, sadly, it happened many times. I had one of my key leaders. We went through such a tough time, impacted by family, impacted by health, and all of this across almost 2 years. That was terrible. That was terrible because, sure, when you are impacted with all this emotion, your result at work is also impacted. At the end, we're in a business environment. I feel we should already look at long term. I feel that when we're supporting, when we're here and through a therapy, through a different organization, really, it's not only good for the employee. First, the priority will be the employee, but it will be good for the employee, but also it's going to be good for the organization because we work with a lot of people.
Yeah, and the employer, right?
Yeah, exactly. So if we do something bad with one employee, everyone can see and they can feel that, wow, is that the way this organization managed this person when she's going through such a tough time? What happened is one day it happened to me. So that's why it's not just when there is this case, as an organization, we should not consider only the individual case, but also the impact that can have on the other people. Sure, the priority would be the individual, but also to make sure that it doesn't impact the other in the environment. So for this person, we adapt our organization. We let her take more spare time to look after her challenge. Financially also, we did our best to help. And on the long run, it was a big win because this person was highly engaged before with the company. She remained highly engaged. She became not even engaged, she became an ambassador. And that's where I say that's a big impact for everyone, because she could relate and share a story with so many and saying, look, when I went through all these tough times, the company has been here for me, doing adapting the organization, helping me financially, being open to my emotion, etc. So on the long term, it's a win. It's a win. So I agree with you. Someone who can facilitate this, we can curate this also, we can help, and that's the key. So right now we're using our HR department. Sadly, a lot of HR departments are becoming more admin departments than human resource. And when you look at human resource, it's really managing this resource. It's an asset. It's our people as the biggest asset in our order. Yeah, it could be a great opportunity to have someone really focusing only on this.
Stéphane, I thank you so much. I mean, CEOs, leaders, corporates, and our listeners as a whole can really only benefit from all your insights and experience. I love all that you have said. And where can people continue to engage with you and these ideas?
So maybe I won't share my email address. It might be too long. But you can find me on LinkedIn. I'm quite connected. So I will answer definitely on LinkedIn. Yeah, that would be the best link.
Great. So as we near the end of this amazing conversation, Stéphane, I would like to ask you this final question. And it goes like this. If you could leave our listeners with one key takeaway from this Emotional Inclusion and Hospitality podcast, what would it be?
It's one sentence, one word.
As you wish.
I would say be available to your team at any time. Listen to your team. Inspire them. Empower them to do what they have to do, and the business will go very easily.
Right on. I love it. Thank you so much again, Stéphane, for agreeing to come on the Emotional Inclusion podcast with me. And when the quarantine is lifted, we definitely have to meet up. I could easily carry on this conversation with you for hours. Your expertise in hospitality is fascinating. And I truly hope that our audience will take in the advice and insights you've provided us today. Friends, if this content is delivering value to you, and if you haven't already, please make sure to subscribe, go to iTunes, go to Spotify, rate and review us. That helps us build this community. And that is what we are all about right now, building this community as big as we can to make emotional inclusion in the workforce a new norm, and your rating and reviewing really helps with that. Thank you again so much for tuning in. And until next time, my friends, be bold and be brave. Thanks for listening to my conversation today. We hope you enjoyed it. And if you have a chance, please rate and review, hit subscribe to receive new episodes, and pass it along to a friend. Thanks again for joining. I hope you'll come back for more. And in the meantime, you can check out emotionalinclusion.com/the podcast.